Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hey, good evening, Encounter family. Thank you again for joining us this Wednesday evening. We hope you're having a great season of Advent and your family's doing well. You know, last week we kicked off our part one of our discipleship conversation, and we really hope you had a chance to be a part of that. There's some great stuff. I'm here with Pastor Pat Mahoney, with Pastor Steve Mastis, and with Pastor Kurt Wojtulewicz. I can say his name. You know, it was just a great time of just talking about what discipleship means to us, and we really hope that it helped you and your walk with the Lord. And tonight, we're continuing what we started last week, and last week we left off with Pastor Kurt just talking about how he knows that he's a disciple of Christ. You want to just share again a little bit about what being a disciple of Jesus Christ? How do you know that you're a disciple of Jesus?
Sure, it came down to two things. One is, how do I know I'm a disciple of Christ? And that is by following his commands. Jesus said, you know, you're my disciple if you follow my commands. And so I tried to follow his commands to the best of my ability. I don't always. And then the other one is from John also, 13:35, where he said, by this all men will know you're my disciple, by your love. And so I want to show love. I want to have the love basically come through me so other people can know that I'm a disciple.
Yeah, that's so cool. I just love the way you put that, is one to the two parts of that. You know, it's just one, knowing that you're a disciple because you're following the commands of Jesus. You're following what the Bible says. And two, other people will also know because you love them well. And so that's really great. So Pastor Pat, how about you? How do you know that you're a disciple of Christ?
When everybody loves me. No.
I love you, Pastor Pat.
See, then I'm a disciple. You do not. But then I'm a disciple for him and not for you. You know, to me, this whole journey is, it's just a bundle of joy. This life is a great life. And it's not a struggle. Hmm. This thing called Christianity and following Jesus, mankind makes it a struggle. Mm-hmm. We make it religious. But you know, when you're walking with the King of Kings and he's already taken care of everything and he said on the cross, it is finished.
So do you mean there's no problems anymore? Like, you don't have any problems?
Well, I got problems, but I give them all my problems to Steve. No. I got everything everybody else has, and I don't always walk through it with great victory. At the same time, and maybe because I'm older too now, maybe because I have been in this for about 45 years, I just don't take it too heavy anymore, because I've seen God do everything all these years. He is faithful. When the Bible says God is faithful, just believe it. Relax, rest, it's okay. Enjoy this thing. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And you know, you say, well, what are the marks of a disciple? Well, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, start there. Are you seeing these things living through you? Because that's who he is. And if we're following a person, we're going to see his characteristics in our life. Do you need patience? Don't beg God. God, please give me patience. You have the patient one in you. Just draw on him and just live that and speak that. So, you know, Christianity to me, I guess, is just, it's a fun life. I thank God daily I'm saved. And I, by the way, I do want to say thank you. Whatever camera I'm looking at, we were talking last week about all the people who have helped me and encouraged me. You know, this is a great opportunity. I just say thank you. Thank you to all the people 45 years ago who took my hand, who showed me a book to read. Thank you to the Marilyn Hickeys who helped me, to the pastors who were patient with me, to the people who loved me, to my wife who works with me and has lived with me all these years and put up with stuff. Thank you, because it is a marvel to watch the people that walk with you in this journey.
Yeah.
And so joy, Pastor Kurt, love, exactly right. But a mark for me is the joy of God is such a great mark that we're walking as a disciple, because that says I'm trusting him.
Yeah, that's really good. So what I'm hearing you say is that you go from this place of being worried about situations that arise to no longer being worried about those things, because your experience has taught you that if you just trust in God, it'll work out.
It does work out.
Yeah, that's really
cool.
Doesn't
it? We all know Romans 8:28. We all believe that.
Yeah.
So let's walk it like we believe it. Yeah. It all works out.
So you're literally living a worry-free life.
I do my best.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I don't worry too
much. That's
pretty
cool.
Sometimes I worry about where I go to eat lunch, but.
Fair enough.
No, I don't. I think, what's the point?
Yeah.
It didn't, Jesus said it doesn't add anything to your life. He said, why worry? It doesn't add a blooming thing to your life. Just look at the flowers. Everything's taken care of by the Father. Relax. It's okay. God is in charge.
That's cool. That's awesome. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. Pastor Steve, how about you? What is that mark of a deception? What is that measurement for you when you know that you are now a disciple of Jesus?
Oh. Pat, you make it sound so easy. So great. I don't know. It's something I've been wrestling with because I used to think it was just obviously the fruits of the Spirit. Of it. There's signs. Like, if you follow me, will follow you. Type thing Jesus said, but I've been wrestling with this, and it's in Matthew 7. Many are going to come to my name, saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things in your names, cast out demons, do these miracles? And Jesus is like, depart from me. But he says, you workers of iniquity. That means people are just breaking his laws. Don't follow him. He says, I never knew you, and it's something I've just been really wrestling with because I'm very relationship-oriented, and I've done miracles. I've seen cancer healed. God's used me to do a lot of crazy stuff. And to me, it's just sitting there going, do I know him? And just like when I got saved 25 years ago, there's a pivot that happened. I just wanted to follow him. I had no idea what I was doing, what it looked like. And I used to always think it was an outward focused thing.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by outward focused thing?
I have the joy. I love people. Like you guys are saying, and for me, my measurement's a little bit different in the sense of the only question I have for you, how do you know him? Does that make sense? Like, I can give you a lot of facts about my wife. Does that make sense? Like, I can give you her favorite food. I can literally, we can go to any restaurant, I can order for her. But I know my wife more intimately and deeply and personally than just her favorite foods. Like, I can give you facts about God. But like in John, when Jesus says, I'm knocking on the door, I want to dine with you. And that's how I look at it. I measure it. Can I just sit and have a relationship with God? Like, he enjoys being with me. I enjoy being with him. I have no idea what that looks like because it's something I'm wrestling with because I was always performance driven. God liked me because I did this. I'm a disciple because look what I can do. Does that make sense? Now it's more personal. Like, and it's something I'm wrestling with going, do I know him? Because he even says in John 17, where he says, you receive eternal life by this, by knowing him. And in some translation says, and I know him. Jesus says that about his Father. And I'm going, I want to just know God. That's all I want. And I think me being pure in lifestyle, all these things will follow it because I'm in relationship with God. But I think it ultimately just comes from, I think we just want to be good people, not without having the relationship part with God. I hope that in my head it makes sense. But
no, that's good. Thanks.
Joy comes from having a relationship with God.
Right. Yeah.
And not just memorizing the scripture or taking a class. It comes from really having an intimate relationship with God. To have the fruits of the Spirit, you got to be pretty much intertwined with God and have that relationship. It just doesn't happen because I just did a Bible study with someone. Yeah. It can happen. I mean, obviously, but because it has happened. But I'm just like, I really want to know how did Jesus do this?
So what do you think? What do you think holds people back from that relationship, from that intertwined relationship that you're talking about?
I think a lot of people, because I really could speak to the hurting people because they got, I have a magnet for that. But I just say people are really afraid because God, you can't see him. You can't always feel him. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do this with God. And I think it's just the unknown. And me, it was more like fear. Like, oh my gosh. When I really read that scripture, said, don't be afraid of someone, what are you saying? Send your soul to hell. I was like, oh my gosh. What is this God like? Like, I just don't want to. I think people are afraid that he's not loving, he's not kind, he's not good. Does that make sense? Like, sure. I feel like people struggle that he's not these things. Or, like, we almost come to God like we're disappointed him. and we don't, like, he's just going to spank us or put us in timeout. When he really is, like, he's not focused on our sins. He's focused on relationship.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I think that it's really important. And even as you're talking, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, what's my measure of discipleship? And I agree. I agree with what you guys are saying 100%. At the same time, you know, for me, I think it's completely impossible for me to be a disciple if I don't have faith. Because the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if Jesus says, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not, it means he doesn't know me if I don't really believe. And faith, this faith to me, according to Hebrews chapter 11, is this, that it's literally believing without seeing. And it's having something without holding it, right? And so how can you believe in something that you can't see? How can there be a God if I can't talk to him and I can't hear him back and I can't touch him and I can't have supper with him? And yet, I think the opposite is true, that you can do all those things. And I've experienced that in my life, because I went from this place of believing and really trusting God, you're real, just taking it at face value, not really questioning it or trying to explain it in my head. I think that's where I ran into the issue personally, is trying to explain God in my head and trying to explain who God is through my understanding. And the more I tried to do that, the more I realized that I'm walking away from him. And as soon as I said, okay, God, I'm done. I surrender. I'm just going to believe you because you said so, it changed everything. God became so real to me. It wasn't just, I could hear his voice more clearly. And it wasn't just like I'm hearing voices in my head. No, it was, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is God. And he guides me into good. It's always good. His voice always leads me to good. And so for me, I think knowing for me that I'm a disciple is when I can truly hear his commands easily. And, you know, I might not have the Bible memorized. I don't have the Bible memorized. But I'll tell you what, when I'm in a situation, all of a sudden a scripture will pop up that'll apply to that situation and I'll know what decision to make. Or all of a sudden I'll remember a sermon that somebody preached and talking about something, and it'll just be there. And where did that come from? You can say, well, you know, it's your subconscious, it's your memory. I believe it's God. I believe that is God, because he guides us and he leads us and he's our helper in those times of trouble. And so, you know, we don't always make the right decision. We don't always make the right choice. But I found in my life, every time I've not made the right choice, it's when I've willfully gone against the will of God knowingly. And other times, it's not just a simple mistake. It never is just a simple thing. It's an active decision in my heart to obey God or disobey God. And I feel like there's this prick inside of me. And that's what I know, I think, for me, is I know that I'm a disciple when I can just believe him, even though it doesn't make sense. And so that's my take.
Can we park there for a second? Because sure. I think that point about faith is vital in this issue. Because when you look at the Gospels, what did Jesus do? I mean, he tried to teach the 12 a lot of things. Yeah. But one of the key things was faith.
Yeah.
And they just had such a hard time getting a hold of this thing called faith. And how do you live this? And I think a lot of Christians today struggle because of this very issue. They don't know how to walk by faith. And so they walk by emotion. They walk by the circumstances of the world. They walk by people's opinions. And when you talk about discipleship, if you really don't understand the subject of faith, you can never really move along where God's kingdom is wanting to take you.
Yeah.
Because you're being controlled by these outward forces. Faith is a key thing, what you're saying in Hebrews 11:6. Vital. And so I think to those that are watching us, you have to move away from the world system into the kingdom. You got to get a hold of the faith of God, Mark 11, and understand God's faith is in you and that his faith will live through you. It's vital people understand what you're talking about. It really is. Yeah. Being a disciple without knowing what you're saying, or really without all of these things, being a disciple is a struggle if you don't know these things.
Yeah, and I had a hard time loving people because of the way they treat you, because of the way they talk to you. And it's just, to me, it was just like, nope, I'm going to give you back what you gave me. I mean, I'm going to carry out justice in the name of the Lord. And God said, son, just relax. I got it. I'm a just God. I'll bless you if you just let it go. But if you hold on to it, I can't bless you. And so once I got to that point, and it was a journey, man, it was a series of many, many mistakes. Cause I was, this isn't right or that isn't right. But God was just like, son, just let it go. Trust me with it. Yeah. Even if they wronged you. And I found in my life through those times, if I just trust God and don't get all worked up about it, somehow God just works it out in my favor. And he always, I don't want people to get punished anymore. I don't want that, because there was a part of me that wanted that. Now I just want them to know the love of God. And so now I can pray easily. I can pray, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I want them to know the love of God. So now I can pray that. And I think that part right there, walking by faith, is big in people. Yeah.
That's good.
So, Pastor Steve, I want to come back to you real quick. So you're very open. You shared, you know, I'm struggling with this right now. But how would you say that even in the struggle, God's talking to you and helping you disciple people? How do you disciple people?
Well, as I said earlier, I seem to get a particular group of people that are on the same journey as I've been. He just throws them in my street as I'm driving. And I just bump over them. I'm like, here we go. And it's constant. And I think I'm relatable to a lot of people. Like, God gives you people, like, seems to work perfectly how we do it. And I just really help people. Like, when I tell them, hey, I've struggled with these areas, I don't struggle that there's a God. I don't struggle in the, like, I have faith. I do just struggle in relationship part with God still. But I really just, it's just sitting with people and letting them know, hey, you do have this. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, I look at people and I'm just like, man, not everyone just has it together. And I want people to understand, like, there's a Father that absolutely loves you and He rescued you and He delights in you. And I think that helps people ease the wall that they have with God. And I want people to understand that more. I almost forgot the question. What was the question again?
Yeah, no, you're down the right path. You're just talking about how do you disciple people even while you're going through it yourself.
And I think with my story, and I'll never forget, a young person working with students just came to me and they said, by you just sharing your story eased the burden for me to want a relationship with God.
So testimonies are important, helping build their faith and their expectations.
And I think my story and even where my story's now has helped people just, and that's how I kind of disciple and work with people, is just really parable stories, my life. And because I integrate a lot of scripture in, because God is such a vital part of my life and He's part of every decision I make.
Yeah.
And I, like, since I deal with young people, it's in relationships. Godly relationships. So I look at discipleship just not so much as let's just memorize a bunch of scriptures. Let's try to live out these scriptures.
Yeah, that's good.
In everyday life and not just on a Sunday morning and coming to church. That's cool. But how can you live for God on a Monday afternoon when you're just grumpy?
So not just going through the motions, but actually living it with everything inside of you.
And I let them be safe with questions and doubts and fears. And because a lot of people have them, and I just try to ease it.
So it's okay to question the Bible? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they have questions in the Bible. Because I have my Bible's full of question marks going, that's kind of crazy. And I was like, I'm going to bring it up to God when I get to heaven. Then I realize I probably won't care. Once I'm there, I'm like, all right, who cares? But yeah, I just try to create, I hate to sound so weird in that, but I try to create an area where, because I deal with so many hurting people from bad backgrounds, that a lot of parental issues and stuff, or just bad decisions, and just ease them going, there's a God that loves you, but we don't have to stay this way.
Yeah.
And that's really my message to almost everyone I speak to. But we don't live here. Let's move forward.
Yeah.
And some people are run it and get there fast, and some people are just like, they're stumbling every five steps.
Sure.
So
that's good. I really like what you said about sharing your testimonies and your stories, because I believe that the Bible is full of testimonies. It's full of stories. I mean, really, from Genesis to Revelation, there's just a bunch of stories in there about how God moved, and those are things that encourage us. I think God works that way. And Pastor Kurt, I want to come to you because you have a very, very interesting story about healing, and I want you to share just a short version of that, because I know you've shared it before, but share how that helps you disciple others.
Sure. So, let's see, it's 13 years ago. I was a financial advisor, promised a lot of money, and then stressed to the limits and hated it, and got put in the hospital. I had numbness on my left side, went to the hospital. They said, do you have MS? And so doctor came back about 2 weeks later, and he said, I have bad news and good news. I said, give me the bad news first and give me two straight. He said, okay, Bad news, you're going to be in a wheelchair in 3 weeks or 3 months and you'll be there permanently. What's the good news? You're going to die very soon after that. And I looked at him, how's that good news? He said, people with your condition die long, suffering, painful deaths.
Wow.
And so, and that's when I heard God say, I called you to be a pastor. I'm like, okay, this guy's telling me I'm going to die. But the Holy Spirit came over me and I looked at my doctor, and I have a lot of respect for doctors. Doctors are amazing people. And I looked at the doctor in the eye and I said, you don't number my days. God numbers my days. And so from there.
What did the doctor say to that?
He said, I'm a non-practicing Christian myself. And he sat down next to me. And I felt God say to me, is there such a thing? Because Christ said, you're either with me or against me. And I looked at him and I just smiled because I'm not going to tell a doctor that. And so
he has control of the bed.
Yeah, he does. He's controlling pain. It was a struggle, but it was a way that I think God allowed it to happen to me so he can regain my attention. Because if I was just blunt, I'd say that I worship money and it was all about making the next dollar. And God reminded me, he's like, no, I didn't call you to do that. I called you to be a pastor. And since I became a pastor, I have more now than I have ever had, and I make far less.
That's easy, isn't it? Easy to fall into those traps of the devil.
Because very easy.
He tries to tempt you with all these things that seem fine. There's nothing wrong with money, but he'll try to get you caught up in these things, and so to keep you away from loving God.
That's right. It's not money, per se. It's the love of money.
Yeah.
It's the evil. So, I kind of just said, okay, I'm going to go back after you, God. And so I started going back after him. And then as I started to disciple, to answer your question, as I started to disciple people, I realized that people are not wanting to be discipled. They rather stay in the ruts because they don't know he's real. Hmm. So God gave me a message, and I spoke at a previous church on the reality of God. And I remember getting off stage. I said, okay, now I'm going to show you God is real. So who needs healing? Come down here. And I got off stage. I'm like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I don't even know why I said that. You know, I was scared. And a lady came up to me and she said, I got healed during the service. God's presence just fell on me and freed up my shoulder. And I was like, this is amazing, you know? And then I prayed during this time also, God, let me be forgotten and you be remembered, you know? Because I don't want to be that guy who takes all credit for what God's doing. And I was in fear of doing that very thing. And so I remember the first person I laid my hands on to pray for during the service, God said a name. And so I felt the name. It was like something's in my head, like Brennan. I was like, Brennan. I looked back and I was like, Brennan, God wants you to pray for him. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, God wants you to pray for him. And so this kid walks over and he prays for him and this guy gets healed. And Brennan's like, who's next? You know? And then I end up out in the foyer and another person was asking me to pray for his wife who had breast cancer.
And so this is all while you've been diagnosed with MS?
All while. After, yeah. This is all after the fact. And so I went to pray for her and I heard Kelly. And I looked around and Kelly was standing right over there. I'm like, Kelly, God wants you to pray for her. Kelly prays for her. The woman takes two steps back and we're like, what just happened? She's like, the pain just left me. So I realized right then, it's not for me to disciple per se, it's for me to be a disciple, for Christ to disciple. And so when I allowed him to work through me, other people got on fire and they're like, okay, this is real. And then what I felt like I need to teach on is that, you know, if you have all these giftings, what does it mean? Does it mean you're holy, that you're greater than, and we have measurements, right? We have standards. So if you've done this, then you've been baptized in the Spirit. If you've done this, then you are saved. And I go back to 1 Corinthians, you know, and I love it when he says, if you speak in the tongues of angels and of men, but you have not love, you're just a resounding gong. You're a clanging cymbal. You're a noisemaker, nothing else. If you can prophesy and fathom all depths of knowledge and have a faith that sells a mountain to move and it moves, but you have not love, you are nothing. And then he ends it with this. If you give your body over to a flame and die a martyr's death and give all you possess to the poor, but you have not love, you will gain nothing. So it doesn't take a genius to understand what I need to do is love. If I'm not loving, then I'm nothing. So I'm trying to teach the people around me, hey guys, it's all about love. Can we love? Pay attention to what Jesus is saying and just love on people. Can we do that thing? And I think I'm getting more alive in Christ and more gratification just by allowing him to do what he wants to do through me for them. I remember there's a time I was in my ministry and I was like, okay, you know, we position ourselves. That's kind of like the priest, you know, we position ourselves between the people and God. And God's like, no, 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 no. You turn to the side. My son is the only door, not you, right? So it was a correction, but he only disciplines those he loves, right? He only disciplines those he loves. And so I was very grateful. I'm like, oh, God loves me. I like making mistakes because God loves me. He corrects me. And so God told me, get out of the way, right? Keep them connected to me, but don't tell them that they have to come to you to get to me, right? So it was that first thing. And then telling people about the reality of God. God can be experienced. You know, I related to this in this analogy. You know, when your parents are driving on the, you're driving on the freeway and you're speeding, right? Not you. You're probably speeding, right? You're speeding. When do you slow down?
When do I slow down?
Yeah.
When the police show up.
Right. When the cop shows up, right? You know it's wrong to be speeding, but you don't do it. You continue to speed. I do the same thing. And then you see the cop and you're like, oh, I'm a model citizen, right? Look at me. 10 and 2. I'm doing it. And then you pass them, and then you speed up again. Now, if we actually knew God is real, he sees it all.
Yeah.
Right? I think we can actually do a better job of what we're doing if we have that reality. So yeah. I think what the church needs to do is teach people that God is real. He's something to be experienced. Just like you were saying, I want to experience God. Because without it, it's just a lesson. I've been through history classes like everyone else here. They're just things that happened. But until you experience, God is living. His word is living. He is alive, and he wants to embrace you, and he wants to love on you. People are going to be like, eh, I don't want to do it.
That's good. I love the analogy of the police officer. You know, sometimes we think that God shows up in church, so we need to act a certain way, whereas he's everywhere all the time.
Yeah, I want people to understand, you know, God never called us to attend a church. You know, you are the church. And so until people understand, wait, I'm the church? I have a gifting? You know, until they understand that they have a gifting, I think the pastoral staff will be massively overworked. And the body will be underworked because they don't understand what they carry. And they may be a toe, they may be an eye. I don't know. I don't really care. I just know they're the part of the body. And Pastor Reese said it in a chapel one day. He said, the body is not complete without you. Mm-hmm. And so we need everyone to be equipped, everyone to be trained up, everyone to know that God is real so they can walk it out.
Yeah. That's really good. I think that's important to discipleship that we understand those things. And, you know, if you haven't read this, but go to Ephesians 4, starting verse 11, it tells you that, you know, every single believer is called to come to unity of the faith until we all believe the same way, until we all have the same faith. And that's the whole purpose of the church is it's not about the building. I agree with you on that. It's about us becoming the church and loving others the way that he loves us. That's so good. Thanks for sharing that. Pastor Ben, I'm going to close tonight with you here and just kind of talk to us about the same thing, about how do you disciple others and how is it effective?
You know, it's hard to add to what these guys have already said. I mean, you've said it all, Steve. It is relational. It's being a friend when you really don't want to be and you don't have the time to be, but you're it anyway. It's sacrifice. It's time. It's coming alongside people and walking with them. It's all of that and so much more. Just read the Gospels. Watch how Jesus discipled his believers. They would have driven the rest of us mad, but he worked with them. He slept with them. He ate with them. He worked with them. And they didn't understand a blooming thing he was doing, but he knew that he was taking them somewhere. And he saw it by faith, and they had no clue.
Yeah.
And it is relational. But I would like to share, can I share a scripture?
Please.
I would like to share this just to encourage the people that are watching tonight, because you might be thinking, you know, you guys are saying some high and lofty things about discipleship and everything, and you got to have an encounter with God. You got to, you know, have this process you walk through. I just want to encourage them I love this scripture. I think it's one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul said, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that part you might be thinking, wow, I got to work out my salvation. I got to do this thing. I got to be a disciple. I got to live this thing. But notice what Paul said. I love this. Verse 13. It is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So that scripture, if you look at it in another translation, basically says, God is in you, giving you the desire and the willingness, and he's giving you the power to do it. Nice. And so to these that are watching, I'm saying, don't worry about any of this. God's working this desire to have an encounter with him in you. Just let him do it. God's leading you to the right people to help you. Just let him do it. He will empower it. He will give you the desire for it. You will arrive where he wants you to go.
That's really good. That's kind of like your story. Yeah.
That's my story.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It's where God is, and it's what God wants us to trust him in. He in us and he through us.
Yeah. Wow. So
I would agree. I would add to that. I love it. I would say something a little bit different, just to put it in layman's terms, is that we don't work to be loved. We work because we're loved.
Yeah. Totally agree. Yeah. It comes out of that framework, that understanding.
I think it goes back to what Pastor Steve was saying earlier too. You know, he was doing the things out of this responsibility that I've got to do this and perform in order to be accepted. It's really the other way around. He's already accepted us because he called us. Yeah. And we said yes to him. And so now we do what he says because we love him. Amen. And it's really that simple, right? And yet sometimes I think it can be so difficult to understand up here. What in the world? That seems backwards. Yeah. But it's not the way the world teaches you.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Guys, I've really enjoyed this discussion. And you know, those watching online, I really hope that you guys have really enjoyed this conversation about discipleship as well. And you know, our heart over here at Encounter is really to follow Jesus and to make disciples the way that he's called us to make disciples, because we ourselves are disciples just like you, and we want to come to the unity of faith. And you know, if you've maybe related with some of the things that were said today, or you're just having some questions in your head about, you know, why this or why that, feel free to email us. We would love to connect with you. We also want to hear your story. So feel free to email us at info@ecdenver.org. We'd love to pray with you, pray for your family. You know, in this, especially in this Christmas season right now, you know, we know that things can always go up or down. Well, that's okay. We're trusting God along with you, and we want to stand with you in faith that God has great breakthrough for you. Worry not, fear not. Just like Pastor Pat was saying earlier, God is with you. You know, thank you so much for being a part of this Wednesday night service tonight. And if you missed last week, make sure you grab that. That's part one of our discipleship conversation. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.